You know, Mr. Peel, I talked to a sheriff up there one time from Borger, and I asked about old Dutch Lumen.
He lived in that Borger.
And I believe that was Hugh Anderson, I believe, was the sheriff. I met him in El Campo. He just happened to come through there, and I walked in to get some coffee. Was talking to him, and he said he was from Borger. I asked him about Dutch Lumen, and he said, yeah. And he said he'd been sheriff there for a long time, and he swore by old Dutch. He said old Dutch was, they just didn't have any cow stealing up there. That of course, Dutch was an expert cow thief at one time, a professional thief. And of course, after the association got him out of the penitentiary, he went straight. And he said only trouble with Dutch was that he always carried quite a few chains around in his pickup on the sideboard.
He'd whip shit out of that.
He'd goddamn whoop him with that damn chain. And he said that they just had the fear of God in them. All them thieves, they just, if anything come up, why, they'd send for Dutch. And he said, man, he just sure make them walk the chalk line.
Well, you know, Dutch stole with a lot of them fellows up there in that country when he was stealing cattle. And he went to them when he went to work for the Cattlery Association. He went to a lot of them fellows there and told them, said, now, boy, I'm working for the Cattlery Association. And if you don't stop stealing cattle, goddamn you, I'm going to catch you. And he said, don't think I won't. There's some pretty tough fellas up there. And he said, now, goddamn it, you better stop. I'll catch you if I kill you. I'll kill you, goddamn, if you don't stop killing cattle. And he caught several of them damn tough son of bitches up there after he went to work for the cattle. And he told him, he said, goddamn you, I told you I was going to catch you. That you couldn't steal cattle and put it over me, because I knew what you were doing. And by God, he caught several of those damn tough fellas there stealing cattle.
Well, he was you don't often see a man like what looks like Dutch. You remember wore that little black round top hat?
Yeah.
And he looked like just a, I don't know what he was an individual.
Well, time I caught Dutch, Mac Adam, Ben Reed, and Dick Davis went to him and propositioned him to kill me. And Dutch said no. Said Peter didn't tell a goddamn lie on me on the witness stand. And he said he caught me with a gun, and he said, goddamn it, he didn't tell a damn lie on me on the witness stand. He said, I'm not gonna kill him. If you all wanna kill him, well, just go on. But he come to me and said, Peter, those three sons of bitches, I'm working up the case on them. He said, they've come to me and propositioned me to kill you. But he said, God damn it, they over there in a damn saloon drinking, beer drinking. And he said, if you want me, I'll go with you and you face them. And by God, I'll back you up. Said, we just kill him, three sons of bitches. That's what he said. I said, no, Dutch, I said, you got all the goddamn trouble you can handle. You're accused of killing that fella at Post City, and you got this indictment for stealing these cattle here on the Yale Range. And he said, I don't want to get you into any trouble, but I appreciate what you told me. And I'll think of that. I remember that. And when them son of bitches up there, you know, started to frame up on me, well, I was talking to old Guy Rachel, backed up against the barbershop. I just got a shave, walked outside, and when Guy Rachel come along, and I was standing there with my back to the wall, talking to him, when those old Mac Adams, Ben Reed, and Dick Davis come across the street, and they had a big consultation and pointed to me over there. I saw him, and they separated. Dick Davis was supposed to be the worst man of the bunch. He come right straight across the creek, the street, and when he got up, I had my hand on a six-shooter, and I was waiting for him to make one more step, and I was going to goddamn shoot that son of a bitch. And the mother two, Mac Adams, went up the street and cut across on a sidewalk on my left. And Ben Reed come down and went back down the street and crossed on my right. They were going to come in on me in three ways. But the when I looked old Ben Reed right now and had my hand on a six shooter, he sized me up. Goddamn, he turned down the street he went. And old Thad Tarver and Warren Smith, some said Barbie and that phone kept right what was taking place there. And by God, here come Warren and Thad Tarver. Run up in the car and jumped out and come over there to me. And they said, Cap told us to come down here and stay with you. Well, I said, Warren, I don't want to get you boys in trouble. I'm going down in my car and get my Winchester and go there and kill all three of them some bitch. I watched them. They went in this damn bootlegging joint, beer joint. I said, I'm just going in there and kill all three of them some bitch. So Warren said, no. Cap Wright told us not to let you get out of our sight. So I said, well, I don't want to get you boys in any damn trouble because you're both officers. And you if I kill them three sons of bitches, well, you'll have to testify against me. So that broke it up. We went on back to the Cap's headquarters.
Well, didn't Light Townsend go right with you one time to...
He was there at Post City. When Dutch Lumen and two of his goddamn sidekicks, one of them come up the street and went across Seno Light Town. They were watching, you know, and when Light Town laid back in the car, in my car, and went to sleep. And one of them walked over there and stood there with his hand on his six-shooter watching Light. Well, Bill Lumen come through the garage, and I was sitting down with my arms on the bench with both arms out that way, resting. And Dutch come in the back day where Cooksey was associated inspector. He was standing looking out the side up and down the sidewalk. Dutch Luna told him he'd not to never come back to Post City. If he did, he's going to kill him. And Cooksey was standing there looking up and down the street, and old Dutch Luna walked by and he had his hand on, he had a Luger six-shooter, had his hand on a six-shooter. And he looked me right now, and I looked at him and went to laughing. And goddamn, he just gritted his teeth and walked on by Cooksey. And when he walked past Cooksey looked down, saw him, goddamn, he jumped that high and come running back in the garage. And goddamn, Peter, he said, I've got to get out of here. He said, goddamn, that son of a bitch just killed me. Well, I said, hell, it's all over now. I said, if he'd have shot me, he'd have shot you in the back. Or when he shot you when you turned around. And when Lumen come out the front door, he just motioned that fellow with his head that way. And he went right on across the street and went over on the plaza down Post City. And this fellow was standing there watching over Light. He come on around and went over there. And this other fellow had come around to the left. He went over there, all three got together and walked on across the back end of the plaza, stopped and had a big talk. And they went on.
Cooksey quit, didn't he?
Cooksey quit. He went on back and phoned E.B. Spitter, by God, he wasn't working anymore.
He didn't want no more of that.
He quit.
Every time I think about Light Townsend, though, as good a man as he was, he sure had a sorry nephew that... You remember the one that I caught in Columbus?
Yeah.
That was his nephew. That was old Light's nephew.
Yeah.
Sent him to penitentiary steel.
Old Light Townsend. I said, Light, you laid back in I was in a coop. I said, you laid back there and took a good nap. And I said, that fella stood there and looked at you, by God, all the time you were asleep. If Lumen had to kill me, by God, he's going to kill you. And goddamn old Light's eyes got that big. He didn't go to sleep anymore. That woke him up.
That cured him of his sleep, huh? Well, Mr. Peter, were you working for the association when they killed those two fellows in the hotel?
Huh?
Were you working for the association when they killed those two inspectors?
Robertson and Allison.
Yes.
Up at Borger. No, up at
where in the hill?
Seminole. They killed them up that Seminole. They caught them They caught old Tom Ross and Milt Good. They had 500 stolen cattle in their pasture.
Good.
And Allison and Robinson went up there and saw these cattle, and they indicted them. Indicted Milt Good and indicted Robinson. I mean, indicted Tom Ross. Mm-hmm. And they come on back down there to Seminole, and they was there, those two inspectors was there, to go for the grand jury. And the lawyer, they had a goddamn lawyer there, told them, said, now, boys, says, they got you by the with the goods on you. They got all them stolen cattle. They worked the pasture. Got all them stolen cattle, and you can't get out of it. He said, the only thing you can do is you kill them two goddamn fella. Said, I can get you out of it. So Tom Ross and Milt Good went in that hotel, and Tom Ross did the shooting. He killed Robinson, then he killed Milt Good. He killed Allison. They never had a chance. They just walked in there and killed them both. And after Allison fell out of the chair dead, Tom Ross told Milt Good, said, you goddamn son of a bitch, said, shoot him so you can be in it too. And Milt Good pulled his pistol out and shot Allison after he was dead.
Well, didn't Ms. Robinson or Ms. Allison, didn't she?
Ms. Robinson had a little old 25 automatic pistol. She heard the shooting, she'd upstairs in the room. She run down there and shot Tom Ross in the belt buckle, in the belly, and it hit a belt buckle. And it glanced and it wounded him. Well, when he went to a doctor and had the doctor dress his wound, and he rolled out and went to Montana. And he killed that old Englishman up there that was managing a big ranch. He changed his name, went up there. And they caught old Mel Good and put him in the penitentiary at Huntsville. And he got out and they caught him again and put him back. And this Tom Ross was a snow, god damn it, was cold as hell and snowing. And he had a herd of cattle he'd worked, and the boys, he told them, said, now boys, you all go to chuck wagon and eat lunch and warm up, and we work out that herd of cattle after dinner. And he went over to his room, and went in that manager. The manager says, why in the hell didn't you work out those cattle, an Englishman? And Tom Ross told him, said the boys are cold. It was way below zero and snowing all over that snow all over that country. Tom Ross said, I'll let the boys go eat dinner and get some warm up. Said, we work them out after dinner. And he said, by God, you're going to work them out now. Tom Ross said, no. Said, I've done and give them orders to those boys to warm up, eat the dinner, and said, we work them out right after dinner. Well, that old Englishman made some kind of play at old Tom, and goddamn, he just had his gun and killed him right there. Mm-hmm. Then he went to his room and shut the windows and doors and barricaded himself in there. Well, all them hands out on the range got together, and they were going to smoke him out, and by God, he killed himself.
That's Tom Ross.
Yeah, that's Tom Ross. And old Milt Good was working for this old Joe Inman out here at Catoosa.
That's what I was thinking.
And yeah. He got out of his car and then on a sling, drunk, and the goddamn car run over me and killed him.
Well, that wasn't too long ago, was it?
No. Three or four years ago.
I thought I remember that.
His car, pickup, run down on him and killed him.
Well, that's fine. Well, they never
run
did.
Run down, got him against the gates, you know, and killed him. Well, after Tom Ross killed himself, an association man went up there to identify him. It knew him, it was him.
Well, was that during the time you was working for the association?
When I was working for the association. Mm-hmm. I saw old Milt over there. They had him at that They had him there at that Darrington Farm out of Richmond, Sugarland. No, that was that wasn't the Darrington Farm.
Central.
Huh?
Central is there at Sugarland.
Well, that's where they had him.
And the Ramsey was there.
Ramsey was down there
Angleton.
In Missouri County.
Yes.
I knew that old fella running that Central Farm. I knew him well, the man there. I can't think of his name right offhand, but I went over there and asked him if I could see Mel Good, and he said, hell yeah. I'll call him. So he called a trusty there and went and got old Mel. And I told him I wanted to talk to him, and he said, well, just take him off out there and talk to him. And I went off out there and talked to him. There was a lot of stealing going on there, but old Mel made out like he didn't know a damn thing about it. But he, I think, was in with him.
He probably thought you were going to...
Well, I never could get nothing out of him. Then when Dayton Moses got him, no, he didn't get him. He by God, he served his time. Mm-hmm. And somebody got him paroled because he had got 50 years for helped kill those two inspectors. But somebody got him paroled. I forgot who it was, but somebody...
Well, Milt Good was around Richmond for a while, wasn't he?
He was around Richmond. Then he come out here and went to work for old man Joe Enman out of Cotulla.
Mm-hmm. Or Columbus. Columbus or Richmond. He was over in that area.
He hung out down around there. That was after I quit the association, went to work for Mrs. Gross. He hung around down there.
Number 264. It hadn't got a... it's got a board mount. It's not on the big one, though.
That's the deer that I killed on the Jones range, adjoining the Chaparosa range, when old Harry Kenny was working for Gunny Harder then. At 1923, you know, when the government bought the cattle, Harry Kennedy had a good many cattle on that Jones Range, and Gunner Hardy let him have the Jones Range and stock it. And I went with Harry, went over there and helped him gather his cows, and he took 150 head to La Pryor and sold them to the government. And on the way up there, we went going through that country there, jumped a big old buck in the herd of cattle, and he run out, well, I'll kill him. And Harry sent a Mexican back to the ranch with the deer.
That's him right there.
That was a deer.
Mr. Peely, you're talking about the government buying cattle. What do you know about the cattle that was shipped from the west to the east during a drought? Do you remember what year that was? Or?
Well, the government bought the cattle. They sent two appraisers out here and bought the cattle, and they killed lots of them at the shipping pen. They held them in the shipping pen. They killed lots of them and just give them to anybody that wanted them. And they killed a lot up at Christine, my brother Lonzo's cattle. And everybody and every making in that country was there just grabbing it and... what they could, you know, those cattle that they killed. Then they shipped lots of cattle over to Hamper, to Roland Mason, and I Gross.
At Missouri City?
Missouri City.
Yes.
They had a packing house out there, and they killed lots of those cattle for the government.
Well, Reed, I was asking down on the Hawkins Ranch in Matagorda County, Frank Lewis, the one that's vice president up here of the association, he gave me a branding iron one time, and it was an R dash.
Was that Miss Janie Hawkins?
On the Janie Hawkins ranch, and he said that when the government during a drought, or what year was that? Do you remember what time that was? It must have been a big drought.
Well, it was during the Depression after the First World War. Oh. A lot of those fellas, old man Bill Jennings, Lonzo and Farmer, had that old Ortiz ranch. And they had 1,800 big steers. And the old man Bill Jennings finally took the steers and released Lonzo and Farmer Jennings from the note. They had a mortgage to that City Central Bank in San Antonio. And old man Bill moved those steers twice. Then he finally put them on the Ortiz ranch, and they got fat. And he sold them to somebody in Mexico. They went to Mexico City. And they made him about $25, $30 a head. And he paid $100, $125 for them when he bought them during the war.
Hmm. Well, this branding iron, he said it was drought relief. That's why the R.
Yeah.
And they moved a lot of those cattle from the west over on the coast there, and he said they died just like flies.
Passed them with Miss Janie Hawkins.
Well, I've got one of those irons, that R dash.
Yeah.
Number 265, Mr. Peeler.
Here, and I killed in the Kaibab.
He's a good sized deer, isn't he?
Yeah. No. On the Vermejo Ranch in New Mexico.
Number 265 was the Vermejo Ranch?
The Vermejo Ranch in New Mexico.
Well, now, is that a mule deer?
It's a mule deer.
Yes.
That old deer weighed 260 pounds. He's a big old deer, but he hadn't got a big head. Mm-hmm. I killed that deer in the Vermejo Ranch. New Mexico. You go to Trinidad, Colorado, and the road out of Trinidad, Colorado, goes around through those mountains and passes down to the Vermejo Ranch, 65 miles from Trinidad.
Hmm.
And
that's all mountains country.
It's all mountains. Mm-hmm. And that where I killed that deer, it was up about at the Vermejo Ranch. It's 6,500 feet elevation, and it goes on up into Colorado. Part of the Vermejo Ranch is in Colorado, and it's 11,600 feet up there on the Vermejo Ranch. And I hunted that one year on that high country.
Who does that belong to, Mr. Peter? Is that a lease country, or is it?
I forgot who it belonged to, Leonard, but it belonged to a man in Dallas. It belonged to a man in Dallas. Mm-hmm. I forgot what his name was.
Well, that was, you just had a hunting lease or something.
They sold so many permits every year to hunters. Turkey.
Bear, deer?
Bear and deer and turkey and elk. Mm-hmm. Lots of them. I saw 75 elks in one bunch now on the Vermejo Ranch.
Hmm. A lot of timber country.
It's pine and some spruce and cedar.
Number 266, that one over there.
Yeah, I killed that deer on the old man J.M. Dobie Ranch on the Nueces. When old man J.M. Dobie was living there, Oney Sharon was his foreman.
It looked like that's an old... How long ago was that? You say you killed that 266 in 1924?
1924 on the old man J.M. Dobie Ranch on the Nueces. Freak blacktail deer and I killed on the Yale Ranch.
That's number 267. Yeah. Freak blacktail.
Blacktail. Yeah.
And number 268.
That's a blacktail deer I killed on the Yale Ranch also. A freak.
What makes that
Well, I'd imagine he bruised that when he was in the velvet. And it made them knots on there.
Looked like ochre, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. In Chambers County, Jack and Jim White, they got in that intercoastal canal. They lost 1,800 cows in that canal. And they floated up against, when the tide went out, and carried them down there against that pontoon bridge. They had a pontoon bridge across that canal. Its cars and things went back and forth across. And them cattle floated down that canal when the tide went out. And by God, they had to take the bridge out to let them take them out to go.
Well,
1,800 they lost in that canal. And the old fella, old man John Jackson, lost 2,000-3,000 head too in that freeze. You know, it went to raining and freezing. And by God, those cattle just piled off into that canal by the thousand. And I wrote Bob all that information and got pictures of it and sent it to him. I don't know what he ever did. Now, I don't know, that's when they was building that canal, when they got to come by Corpus, went on into King Ranch down there. And I went to see old man Huebner over there at Bay City, and I went to see those fellas over there at Beaumont as he come through their country. And I got pictures and everything and sent them to Bob. And he took it up with the government. I don't know how they ever come in. But I told him to build a crossing on that canal where cattle could cross, you know, swim across. Whether he ever did it or not, I don't know.
Oh, you mean slope the banks off?
Cut the bank down and build concrete where them cattle could go down and swim. Did he do that?
I don't think so. I don't think there's actually, there's none of the...
To fence it. To fence it, then have that cross, you know, where cattle could cross. Mm-hmm. God damn, those cattle dying by the thousands over there doing them blizzards. And they banked up. Jack and Jim White lost 1,800 there in that canal. And they floated down. The tide went out. Took them down there against, lodged against that concrete bridge. I went over there. God, it was cold as hell. And there's just dead cattle all over that country. Those prairies and them canal. Thousands of them in Chambers, Jefferson County.
Well, that's funny.
I went over there and I sent Bob a lot of pictures of that. He told me to fence the canal, then make a concrete crossing, bank down the concrete crossing, and they could swim them across, you know.
Well, you know, that'd be interesting to find those pictures and put them in a museum or preserve those things. That's something that I never heard of that. And all the time I've lived on that coast, I never did hear of that before.
Well, I'll be damned, Leonard. Nobody never told you.
No, I've just never, that's it. Nobody's ever told me about it.
Well, I can tell you, there's a big one. That water's gone. And all that information to Bob, and I sent a lot of pictures of them goddamn dead cattle in them canals.
I was just telling him, all the time I lived on that coast, and I never heard that story at all.
Which one was that?
About cattle dying and going off in that intercoastal canal. I've seen them.
Freeze, Leonard. When them big ships coming into Port Arthur, they told me, I went and talked to them goddamn ship captain. He said he saw 50 or 60 damn cattle swimming out in that gulf, 12, 15 miles out in that gulf, just swimming. And by God, they drowned and washed back there on the coast. I went down on that coast and looked at those goddamn dead cattle. They just come back in there like driftwood when the tide brought them back and deposited them along that coast. The gulf. And I got those pictures, sent them to Bob.
I was going to tell you when I gave them.
Old W.O. and his mother and them lost over 1,800 one deal.
You know, Leonard, that gulf water was warm, and they were that norther drove them cattle to the bay, and they just swam out in that gulf, you know, in that warm water. And that old fella on the, I'll tell you who went with me, old Cade White, knew this old captain of a ship come in that Port Arthur. And he told Cade and I, he said, Cade, I saw about 40 or 50 head of cattle out there 10 or 15 miles out in the Gulf, said, just swimming along. And float. By God, they drowned and washed back on the coast, mm-hmm. by the thousand. See, that water was warmer than the wind in that sleet and snow. Not snow, but sleeted and froze as it fell, the rain. And that's when Ms. Gross down there, you know, had a little cattle of Tom Pooh.
Yeah.
And I went down there, she lost 150 some odd cattle. They went, you could trail them by dead cattle. They crossed that slough down there, and a lot of them died in the slough, and they swam out and got across on the other side and died just like you shot them. God, I never seen anything.
You mean after they go through that water?
They go through that water, they just freeze in a little while.
Old man,
out on the other side where their temperature is.
Jack, old man Poole's, Tom Poole's daddy, lost 2,000-3,000 men.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And Charlie Brandis and Sam Allen, goddamn, and nearly wiped them out down that old ranch down there. They lost several thousand. Just froze by God like you'd have shot them. And I went out there in that mine pasture, wintering about 600-700 head of cattle out there. And there's a big old Bramah bull. Them Bramahs froze first.
Yeah.
Short hair, this big old bull laying down, and I rode up to him, and he wouldn't get up, and I popped him on the back with a whip, and goddamn, he got up and went to fight and just turned hang springs like a bucking bull at high life. Dying God, he just went crazy. And he run me a horseback, I ride an old Slim Brown. He run me about 50 yards just a kicking and a hooking at that old horse's tail. By God, he just went this way and that way. He damn near froze. And there's a lot of cattle froze. I went out there and opened that all them gates into that Bernard and Bradus bottom, you know, and them damn cattle drifted and went into that bottom. I had to work that whole country and sort them out again. And down there, Jack saw this too. One of them that coastal storm come in there at West Columbia and just blowed the goddamn roofs off those houses. And it just coated all that that live oak down there and old man Russian farmers. And all along that ground, that corrugated arm just wrapped around it. Jack saw that. Just wrapped around it by God like you wrapped around.
Drive some of that old piece of tin that far up in those live oaks. That's right.
What year was that, Mr. Graves? Too.
Well, that's 19, and that coastal storm was after I went to work.
1932. Yeah.
And it caught me down there on Tonkaway Bayou, and I drove a cedar fence post, and drove it down the ground with an axe, and sat down and straddled everything that went and held on to it. But I got all night.
All night.
Well, I'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
He told me about that once before, about doing
it. I sat there, and next morning, that's when that fella there from Wadsworth, you know, had a big lot of Bremer cows over there on that island.
Yeah.
And some of them old cows swum that about 6 miles across there. And they swum that storm drove them across to Freeport down, not Freeport, but... that place down there in Missouri County, you know, on the big summer resort.
Velasco, Freeport?
Huh?
No, that was over there on Matagorda Island.
Well, he's talking about Mr. Sartle then.
Huh?
Mr. Sartle?
Huh?
You're talking about Sartle down at that
Palacios. You're talking about Palacios.
Yeah.
No, Palacios. Yeah, that Palacios. And I went down there next morning after that storm. And that old boy out there had 500 cows over there. There's a big old Bremer cow laying there on that bank at Palacios, and a little baby calf, by God, was standing there trying to suck her. And she was dead, you know. She got out on the, and walked up there on the bank, and just fell over dead. And that little old calf had a hold of her tit trying to suck her. Mm-hmm. And she was dead, and the calf was left. That calf put his head up on her back and floated all the way across there. About 5 miles, and the old cow walked out up there on the bank and laid down exhausted, By God, she died right there. She lay in there next morning. That little old calf had her by the tip trying to suck it. Little old white brahma calf.
Christmas time of 1925.
And I tell you what's going to happen.
24-25.
What's going to happen to this fella someday down there where he lives in Corpus. By God, he got to get up on top of the house. That goddamn baby's going to come in there if he don't climb a damn big telephone pole and get on top of the house.
They round all those people in 35 and under Flower Bluff.
I was down there at the old that old Macon lives down there out of Heavenville. Garcia, let's see what's his first. 135 windmills for old man Bill Jones. I went, stayed all night with Dick Jones at the old man Bill's house, and I went on down to Amancio Garcia. Went on down to Amancio Garcia and bought 25 or 30 mules from him in an old white horse, and I shipped them from Heavenville to Christine. I got 1918, and that's when he blowed the goddamn Corpus off the map, and they drowned about 1,400 people. And I was down at Laurelis Ranch with that Mexican Manuel. It worked for Charlie. He and I went down there where the old man Kennedy had his headquarters. And by God, there's three or four make a man's skulls out there in that damn brush. Picked up two or three of them.
You mean that's the storm that blew?
Huh?
That storm is the one that blew in 18.
In human bones, and the skull was down there. Him and I, old Manuel and I, was picking up some arrowheads there on the coast. Them Conquerway Indians came. And I picked up six or eight good arrowheads. And there's pieces of skull and bones there on the coast. And I went out there in the brush. He's going to show me where old man John Kennedy had his house when he and old man Captain King was partners. And went out there in that goddamn thick brush. And there was ruins of this old house. And picked up two human skulls there. And put them up on some bushes there and left them. Blacktail deer that I killed on the Neal Ranch.
Blacktail deer, you say?
Yeah, blacktail deer.
That's number 269.
Yeah.
You killed that on the EL?
Neal Ranch.
The number 270.
I killed that on this the old off road range on that. I rattled that deer up.
Is that right?
I cut it off.
It's not often you see one of them lap over like that.
No, pretty odd head.
Yes, sir.
13 points.
Yes, sir. This is 271.
We got him. You haven't got them out yet, huh?
We haven't got him yet.
Well, I killed that deer on the Vermejo.
On the Vermejo
Ranch in New Mexico.
That's a pretty deer. What about this one, 272?
I killed that on the Kaibab.
South Canyon of the Kaibab.
That's right.
That's a mule deer.
Mule deer.
Well, that's two. What about this one, Mr. Peter?
That's a mule deer that I killed in the Kaibab too.
That's an odd mount that you have here.
Right. What? That's right. I put it on there. Didn't have a mount. I just put it in that for a shield.
Yes. Number 274, that white colored deer, what is that?
Kill that in when they had a big flood on the Laparita Creek up there on the old Hall Range. And I trailed that deer down in there and he went into a slough and turned back, and I shot him and killed him. At 19 and, about 19 and 7, 8. Had a big flood of all that country. That Laparita got 2.5-3 miles wide.
Well, that's right. He sure is light colored, didn't yeah. he?
Well, it was, it's bleached out pretty bad, Leonard. But it was a big old one. Till that day there.
274. 275.
Freak-headed, it's come out of the car van. Killed the car van.
And 276? Man, that's a monster.
That deer, I killed him in the Vermejo Ranch in New Mexico. When I get around there, I'll show you that I killed two the same day.
You have a particular story with that one, Mr. Peter?
No. That's that one I killed him on the Buffalo Ranch in Arizona. Buffalo Ranch in Arizona. That's a white-tailed deer. It a panther kill. You got it?
Yes.
A panther kill that deer on the old Luis Ortiz range way back there about 1911 and 12. That panther killed that deer.
Panther killed him?
Yeah, panther.
What's his number, Mr. Peeler? 277. What? How does a panther... How was he? Did he?
Well, when them old bucks in the fall, when they're fat,
I see he got an underbit in his ear.
Yeah. Well, a panther killed that deer. He might have tore that out.
Yes.
A panther killed that deer on the old Luis Ortiz Ranch in Webb County. And about 19 and 8 or 9.
Mr. Peeler, that's a white tail?
White tail, yeah.
He's a white tail. He's got a tremendous spread, hasn't he?
It's a good spread.
Number 278 is those locked heads there.
Is that locked head?
Yes.
I found those locked heads and down in a canyon on the Kaibab when I was hunting deer up there on the Kaibab back 1948.
In
48? Yeah. Uh-huh. I killed two deer and got the scalps and had it mounted.
Man, that's a beautiful set, isn't it?
That's a good lock.
Well, 279
that's
one right here.
That's right. A pretty good story on that there.
All right, sir.
At 279, well, that's old Buckskin William, an old market hunter, killed that deer on the old Fitzpatrick Range in the Nueces in McMullen County. He killed that deer in 1883 or 1884, and he gave the hen to Annie Campbell at Campbellton. And when she passed away, Sally Campbell gave me the head, and I killed a deer and had this head mounted. And that old feller killed a man plowing in his field. He shot him off a cultivator named Standifer. And old Buckskin Williams killed him for $5 and a pair of Brogan shoes. And the fella shot at him first. And he was shooting, of course, black powder in those days. And old Buckskin stood till the fella shot, and when the puff of the smoke, he fell like he killed him. And the fella turned around, and he was plowing on a cultivator, had his Winchester on a cultivator. And when he turned around, old Buckskin shot him right where the spenders crossed in the back and killed him. The man fell over between his with horses and ran away with a cultivator and threw him off a cultivator dead. And they sent old Buckskin to the penitentiary for life, and he stayed in there about 20 years, and he wouldn't eat, quit eating. And they thought he was going to die, and they turned him out of the penitentiary. And he came back to the old John Dewey's ranch on the Lucas and lived about 20 years.
Couldn't eat the badger, could he?
You got ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Well, did you get that part where he killed that fella?
Yes, sir, I got that.
Well?
He went to penitentiary and
he went to penitentiary. They sent him to penitentiary for life. And he stayed in there about 15 or 20 years, and he went on a hunger strike. He wouldn't eat. And they thought he was going to die, so they turned him out of the penitentiary to die. And he came back to Uncle John Dewey's ranch on the Lucas Creek. It runs into the Borregas up there on the old John Dewey's ranch. And he lived there about 20 years before he died. And he had a little log house up on the Lucas Creek. And I can show you right the ruins of the old house today. And he didn't have any windows or doors on the bottom floor. But he had a window in the house where he went up about 8 feet from the ground. And he had a ladder. When he went up there, he climbed a ladder he made out of elm trees. And when he'd get up there in the winter, he'd pull the ladder up and put it down on the inside and go down in that. And he had a fireplace in there that he'd cook and eat, his camp outfit. Mm-hmm. And he slept in there. With all the ventilation he had was in that dome. And he said that he told me and told my father it only thing animal he ever killed in the woods that he couldn't eat was an old boar badger. He said I cooked him and I tried to eat him, and he said the more I chewed on him, said the bigger he got in my mouth, said I just had to spit him out and I couldn't eat him. He said, Mr. Peter said, that's the only animal that I ever killed in the woods that I couldn't eat. He would have said I couldn't go on.
He's an old bachelor then, huh?
Yeah, no, old badger. He said, I ate rattlesnakes, polecats, coyotes, javeline, deer, everything that I ever killed in the woods but a badger. He said, I couldn't eat him.
I bet he would rank, wouldn't he? That's number 280 is the next head, Mr. Peeler.
Well, that's a white-tailed head. That's a white-tailed deer that I killed in Atascosa County on the old Oppenheimer Range in about 1910-11.
281.
That's a mule deer I killed on the Kaibab in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And 282?
That's the same way. I killed him up there in the Kaibab in Arizona. And that freakhead,
283.
I killed him on the old George Ballard Range in McMullen County.
Huh. And 284?
That's a blacktail deer that I killed on the EL Range in Pecos County. And that's a freakhead.
285. Yes.
Freakhead I killed on the old Stout Ranch in McMullen County, in Atascosa County, the old Stout Ranch.
And 286?
I killed him on the old J.M. Dobie Ranch on the Nueces, whitetail.
And 287?
I killed that deer on the old Hyla Range in Uvalde County in 1909. And 288. That's a white-tailed deer that I killed on the old Hyla Range in Uvalde County in 1910.
Mr. Peeler, all this time, say like this deer here, if you had those stored here?
I had them stored and had them put on a board because I figured they wasn't good enough to mount. I just had them put on board to keep. And when my mother sold the range in Atascosa County, the old Basin Hill Ranch of my father's, where I was raised, I had 154 deer head on board like that. And I let an old bastard up there pledging them. He's going to take them and keep them from me. I was working for the association then, all over the country. And he said he'd take them. I had a big natatorium there in North Pleasant, right on the bank of the Atascosa Creek. And he said, "Peter, I'll take those heads and keep them there. And whenever you want them," said, "I'll bring them to back to the ranch." The 154 heads that I had on board, like that. And he took them and put them up there. Then his wife quit him. He got to drinking, and he sold every one. I never got a head back. He sold every one of them. Just whatever he could get for him.
What I would do. 289 is this one right here, Mr. Peter.
That's a mule deer that I killed in the Kaibab in Arizona.
He's a good sized deer. And 290?
That's a deer that I killed on the OJM Dobie Ranch in 1923.
That's right. I was just 3 years old then.
This is a mule deer. This is a blacktail deer I killed on the old EL Ranch in Pecos County. That one.
Yes, sir. That's 291.
And this.
I think that's all.
Yeah.
The 291.
That's a blacktail deer that I killed on the EL Ranch in Pecos County.
That's the one in 1923, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right.
And 292?
That's a white-tailed deer that I killed on the old DNA Oppenheimer Ranch in Atascosa County. Mm-hmm. That's all of them.
293?
Is it numbered?
I'm going to number it.
293?
Yes, sir.
That's a mule deer that I killed up in the Kaibab in Arizona.
That's an
freak
odd
head.
It's a freak head, yes.
It's a good head, too.
Yes, sir.
Old Buck Ken Williams was a fine rifle shot. He shot an old 44, Winchester. And he went to Floresville one winter, one Christmas, at a turkey shoot. They put a big old turkey gobbler in a box and buried the box in the ground just so his head would stick out through his slot and he'd walk up and down. And they had a dollar a shot. And when old Buck Ken paid his dollar, when it come his time to shoot, he just stepped up and paid a dollar and threw up his old gun. The old turkey walked down to the end of the box. When he stopped to turn around, old Buck Ken shot his head off. And they brought him his turkey. And he said, "Well, I'd like to shoot again." He put another dollar up, and they put another turkey in the box. And the old turkey walked down to turn. He shot again. Off went his head. And he said, paid another dollar, $3, and they put another turkey in there. The fella was putting the shot on, and when the old turkey stopped to turn around, off went his head. Old Buck Ken shot his head off. And you had to shoot at him offhand 100 yards. Well, he killed three turkeys in three shots. And somebody said to this fella who was putting the shot on the shoot, turkey shoot, he said, "Don't you know who that is shooting?" He said, "Hell no," but said, "It's a pretty good shot." He said, "Well, that's old Buck Ken Williams from old man John Dewey's range." He said, "He can shoot those damn turkeys all day, and chances are he won't miss one." And they said, "Well, I'll just bar him. He can't shoot no more." So old Buck Ken said, well, hell, my daughter's good as anybody else. They said, yes, but said, I'll borrow you, you can't shoot again. And a fellow knew old Buck Ken said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bet anybody $25 in the crowd if you can take two fast and tie a tin can to the tail and turn one loose 25 feet on each side of old Buckskin, turn them loose the same time, and I'll bet you $25 he can kill both of them. And the fellow took him up. He said, well, hell, he might be a pretty good shot, but I don't believe he can do that. And the fellow said, well, all right, here's my $25, he can do it. And they went down there in Mexicantown and got two little old dogs, brought them up that to where they're shooting, and tin canned them both, and stepped off 25 feet, made a mark, stood old Buckskin on that mark, stepped off 25 feet, one in front of him and one behind him. And the fellow fired a pistol, and they turned those two dogs loose. Well, old Buckskin just threw down and killed the one in front of him and whirled and killed the other one. The fella collected his $25. That was the kind of a shot he was.
I love it, damn. He was a crack shot. Son of a gun.
And he killed cottontail rabbits for the market. And he'd shoot them in the eye with a .22.
Mr. Peter, how long ago was that?
He always traveled with a single... It's one horse in a little old Studebaker buckboard. That's the way he traveled. He traveled all over the country killing rabbits, and he'd go down on the Nueces and kill deer and tan the hides. He'd take jerk the meat. He'd take the meat back in sacks. He'd smoke it, hang it, smoke it, jerk it, take it back to Floresville and sell it to those Mexicans. And he'd tan those hides, and he'd sell a hide, deer hide, to anybody for a dollar. And he'd tan them with, used the deer's brains to tan them. And by George, I seen my daddy, when he'd come by there, he'd always bring him a couple of buckskin, deer tan, buckskin, deer hide, and gave them to him, because he'd always stop by there and on his way to the Nueces to hunt deer. He'd go down and stay 2 weeks killing deer, and he'd jerk the meat and smoke it and hang it in the sun and smoke it, and he'd take it back, sacks. He'd come back with his buckboard just piled up with deer sacks, deer jerk deer meat, and hide. And that's what he did all the year around.
Well, I'll be done. Well, how long ago was that?
That was long in 1886 and 87. That's when he went.
Well, that's fun. Well, that's interesting.
87 up to 18 and 90. From 86 to 89 to 90. Every fall, I remember old Buckskin come down my father's place, stay all night, and he'd go on to Nueces, hunt deer, and he'd come back by that. Well, he'd always give my father a tan deer hide or two.
You say he tanned them with the brains?
Huh?
You say he used the brains? Deer brains? You said he used the deer brains to tan them with?
Used the deer brains to tan the hide.
I never heard of that before.
Yeah, he used the brains to tan the hide.
Well, that's fine.
These old Mexicans can do that today. These old Mexicans, they take a deer's brain and put it in water and rub it into, first take the hair off, stretch it over a log, take a cow rib, a horse rib, and scrape the hair off the hide, and then flesh it with a cow rib or a horse rib. Either one makes a good flesher. And they stretch it over a log and put it down between the knees, and scrape that hair off, and flesh it, get the meat off of it, and they roll it up in that deer brain, solution of deer brains, and a little bit of salt in it, and roll it up maybe overnight, 24 hours and take it out and rub it, work it with a hand till it's just as soft and dry as cloth.
Well, we do.
That's the way they tan them. I've seen them. We used to have an old Mexican out on my mother's ranch. And every fall, he'd tell me, he said, Mr. Graves said, save me all the deer hides you kill. I'll tan them and make buckskin. And he'd tan them and make buckskin and sell them down that camel for $1.50. And it was just as, it was nice and soft a buckskin as you ever used. You couldn't break a string of it hardly. In the present day, they use acid to tan these hides, and they ain't worth a damn. They brittle and break. But them old Mexican tan buckskin with the brains, a string as big as a card string, you couldn't pull it in two.
Well, I'm going to do. There you can hear some. I never heard of that before.
Thank God, that's the truth. You can go to Old Mexico. When I killed those deer with an Old Mexico for George LeMaire, he was great on having buckskin to bend his harness. He had a harness, you know, and it worked two mules to his buckboard. He had one of them old buckboards, and he worked two mules, and he had a Mexican. It went with him all the time. And he'd drive those mules and an old Spanish mule, he'd drive them in a lope. And he had three or four pairs stretched out where he wanted them, in those pastures where he wanted them, those houses, making houses. And he told me, he said, Peter, I'll give you all the ammunition you can use if you give me the hides. And I went over there in 1908, and I killed 154 deer and about 25 antelope and 6 or 8 wild cattle and gave them to old man George LeMaire. He fed his Mexican at the Wayuli camp. He had about 250 men picking Wayuli, pulling Wayuli there in those ranches. And them old Mexicans, he told Mr. LeMaire, he said, You bring me some deer hide, and I'll make you some buckskins. And they used the brain to make the buckskin. And I think I've got a piece of that old buckskin in the house.
Wow.
And right, George, you can't pull it in two. It's just as strong as nylon, you know.
What is Wayuli?
Huh?
What is that Wayuli? You say the Mexicans were pulling Wayuli? What's that?
The brain plant. They make rubber out of it in Saltillo, Mexico. They have a refinery that they cook that and skim it off and make rubber out of it. During the First World War, they gathered Wayuli, thousands of tons of it around them big ranches in Chihuahua and Coahuila, Mexico. It grew wild.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. And it come out there on the Yale Range. They had quite a bit of Wayuli there on the Yale Range in Pecos County. And a fella came out there with a bunch of Mexicans and gathered all that Wayuli that he could get where it was thick enough and shipped it to a rubber plant here in Akron, Ohio, and made rubber out of it, refined it.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's where I killed so many deer in Old Mexico. Old George LeMaire had given me all the ammunition I could use. I had an old 30-30 Savage, and I had an old 30-40 Krag Winchester. And I'd kill those deer and antelope and wild cattle for his Wayuli camp.
Well.
That I haven't killed my limit of deer here in Texas.
Last year was the first.
Last year. In 72 years, I hadn't killed my limit of deer. And I never fired a shot.
I hear you killed a jackrabbit yesterday with a pistol, though.
Yeah. Well, I can't see a sight on a pistol. But I just shoot him by instinct, just point and shoot. and I can shoot a rattlesnake's head off and never look at my sight. I can just shut one eye where I can see him crawling. I can snap his head off with a 45. Today, as blind as I am. You know, you shoot a pistol, you don't want to look down for a sight, because while you're hunting for that sight, the other fellow will shoot you 2-3 times. And you just don't want to look at the sight. You hunt for it, just by God points you. And it's the instinct, you shoot.
Just like pointing your finger at something.
Yeah. You just point it like pointing your finger. I can take a pistol, as blind as I am, I can shoot one of them notch holes up there, I can see up there. I can just point it, shoot the damn thing out. You don't want to look for a sight, hell, while you're hunting for a sight, the other fellow shoots you in the belly 3 or 4 times.
Number 294.
I killed that deer on the old man J.M. Dobie range in LaSalle County.
2 whitetail deer.
Yeah.
295 is that one up there in the velvet.
That was a stag that Clara Pearson killed on the Kaibab Forest in Arizona. I didn't kill that deer. Clara Pearson killed that deer, and he called him a cactus buck, but it was a stag, a cut deer. Mm-hmm. He gave me that head when I was up there. In 1949, he killed him there on the Kaibab.
Mm-hmm. And this one's 296.
I killed that deer on the old Vermejo Ranch in New Mexico, 65 miles out of Trinidad, Colorado. You had to go up through Colorado and turn back down around those mountains to get to the Vermejo Range.
That looked like a pretty good sized deer.
Pretty good deer, mule deer.
297 is this one.
I killed that deer on the old Jim Dobie Range in LaSalle County.
And 298, he's a...
That was a mule deer. It come off of the Vermejo, and it come off of the Vermejo Range in New Mexico.
That's a wide set, isn't it?
Yeah.
And 299, is that one right up there?
I killed that deer on Old Man J.M. Dobie Ranch on the Nueces River in LaSalle County, 1923. I stayed there about 14 months, helped gather our woods and Old Man J.M. Dobie's cattle, scattering cattle when they closed them both out. Hmm. He was a good whitetail buck.
He sure is. Number 300 is this little.
That's a whitetail deer that I killed in McMullen County. He got a kind of a freak head there.
Yes, sir. And 301?
It's a killed on the old Ortiz Range in Webb County.
Yeah. What's that earmark on there?
Somebody had shot him through there. But they didn't get him. I guess he shoots at the horn, you know. A deer jumps up and breaks to run. Well, a lot of fellas, you know, instead of shooting the deer, they shoot at the horn.
Well, they're getting close to him. They earmark him about like that fella earmarked you, huh?
That's right.
Three O 302 is that one right up there.
I killed that deer on the Vermejo Ranch in New Mexico. He's a big deer. He dressed about 255 pounds, what he dressed. But he got a small head. Those deer in Vermejo Ranch, that's a sandstone country. It's not a limestone. And in no sandstone country produces good deer heads or any other game. They got to have limestone to get grow them big head. That's why in the Kaibab in Arizona, it's a limestone. In those mountains and valleys, it's limestone. And all them deer, that's why they have those big head. Sandstone country never does produce good antlers for any game.
This one right here is 303.
That's deer I killed, a mule deer in the Vermejo Ranch also.
Man, there's some beautiful horns there. And 304?
That deer I killed in the Kaibab on the Buffalo Ranch in the Kaibab. I killed him and that other big head of Weon the same day. I put a woman's tag on one and my tag on the other.
And 305?
I killed that deer on the old J.M. Dobie Ranch in McMullen County.
And he got 2 points broke off and one of them...
That's right. But he's a big old deer.
And 306 is this one right here.
I killed that deer on the old Peeler Range in Atascosa County. About 1911.
And 307 is this one. This looks like a monster.
That's another Kaibab deer I killed in the Kaibab forest in Arizona.
And 308 is this one.
That deer I killed here on my ranch in McMullen County.
And 309?
That's a freak deer head that I picked up in the Kaibab. As deer, somebody shot him and wounded him, and I found as he got his head. Mm-hmm. I didn't kill that deer.
And 310?
That's a Kaibab deer.
And 311?
311. That deer's I killed him in the Vermejo Range, New Mexico. He didn't have good enough head to mount.
Mm-hmm. 312, Mr. Peeler, that one way up on the top.
Well, that's a freak whitetail head that I killed out there on the old Hyler Range in 1909.
Uh-huh. And number 313 is this one right here.
That's a whitetail deer that I killed on the old Otmahammer Range. Mm-hmm. About 1910, 11.
And 314 is
you
this... No, sir. This deer right around here, the one with his head sticking out, that one right up there.
That freak mule deer. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's that freak mule deer. He's a Kaibab deer. And Jacob Lake, Arizona. He got a good head.
They mounted him with his head down, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, you couldn't tilt his head back because I imagine it would touch the... Well, some of those heads mounted that way, because you know if you tilt them straight up like this other man, they touch the wall, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's number 314, wasn't it?
315.
Well, 315 is this one right here.
That's a black-tailed deer that I killed out on the EL Ranch in Pecos County. They're not anymore, those big old deer out there now. They've killed them out every year. Peter Matthews let them kill 100 bucks every year for several years. And them old deer, they don't live long enough.
Number 316 is this one.
That's a deer. That's a mule deer. It killed on the cow bab.
That's a nice set of horns. Yeah. 317.
That's a mule deer that killed on the cow bab in Arizona.
And number 318 is this one.
That's a white-tailed deer killed on the old J.M. Dobie Ranch. I stayed on the old J.M. Dobie Ranch 1923 and 24, gathering cattle. When they closed old man J.M. Dobie out in Iron Word, they had cattle scattered all over about 250,000 acres down there. It took a good little while to gather them.
I imagine so. Mr. Peter, what is the average age of a deer?
Well, average old buck will generally live from 12, 13, 14 years old. Very few of them get to be 14 years old. That's about the average life for a buck, 12 to 14 years.
And it, I guess, depends on the weather, doesn't it?
On the weather and the condition of the country, yes. Too. Lots of these old bucks have come to hard, dry year, and they go into the winter poor. When they shed their horns, go to shed their horns in February or March, they just get down poor, they die, if it's not a good winter where they have weeds and stuff and brush to live on, a hard winter. Well, they hardly ever live over past 12, 13 years old, 14, that's about the limit.
Well, the older a deer gets, say if a deer is 12, 13, 14 years old, and the grass is good where there's weeds or brush, does he make a better set of horns?
No. The best deer head you kill is about from 5 to 10 years old. After that, the horns begin to come down. Mm-hmm. They, instead of advancing, they decrease in size and in the circumference.
Yes.
They come down. That's right.
319 is our next one, isn't it, Lawrence? Mm-hmm. 319.
That's a white-tailed deer. I killed that deer on the old lot memory.
And number 320.
That's a mule deer that killed on the Vermejo Range. In New Mexico. He had a small head, but a big deer.
He sure looks, he's big as a cow, yeah. Looked like. Look at big his deer. Neck there.
Yeah.
Man, that's a...
Well, that shows his size, but he got a little head.
Yes.
Now, I tell you, I went up that one year, hunting on the Vermejo Range, and that evening there from the Vermejo headquarters down Vermejo Creek, about 12 miles, Vermejo River, we counted 515 deer on each side of the road.
Mm.
I counted one side, and Roscoe Siegel counted, no, Roy Hines counted the other side. We counted 515 deer.
Good Lord.
And they come right up around the buildings there, hundreds of them. Mm. During the winter, when it's hard, they come up there and they put out alfalfa for them.
Oh, that's the reason.
They just come in out of them mountains, you know.
They like that alfalfa, don't they?
Yeah, they raise alfalfa all up and down that river. They come down that river, you know, and graze on them alfalfa field late in the evening. Mm-hmm. When the moon's right, they come down in that with swarms of them.
321 is this one.
That's a mule deer that I picked up. I didn't kill that deer. I picked his head up in the Kaibab, and the government had hunted in 19 In about 1940, they got overstocked with deer there on the Kaibab, and the game department had a hunt, the game warden and the hunters come out there, and they shot, killed 5,000 bucks and just left them. They wouldn't give them to anybody. In the first year I went there, you could see those big old deer heads all over the country. And I picked up several good ones and brought them in on my horse, and lots of them, I just picked them up and hung them in trees. And they hanging out a day. Big old rusty buckhead. They killed 5,000 out of that year. Then in 2 years after that, they allowed them to kill 10,000 bucks there during the hunting season. 5,000 the first hunt and 5,000 the next hunt. They did that for several years till they no big bucks left there. They all lots of young deer. Mm-hmm. 6 and 8 point bucks, but they're not them old big bucks. And not there no more.
God, that's a monster.
That's a Kaibab deer.
322. Look at that. Man, that's a beautiful.
He's a good head. He got a good head. Killed him there in 1946. And on the Kaibab.
Man, that's a beautiful set of horns. 323 is this one.
A little freak head that killed it here on the old J.M. Martin ranch in my country.
What makes those freak heads like that?
Well, he was an old deer, them, lots of them old deer, you know, their horns grow in every kind of shape. Mm-hmm. And they're not very large.
And 324 is this one.
That's a deer that I killed on my mother's old ranch over that. It used to be part of the old Oppenheimer ranch. I killed that deer about 1913 or 1914.
Mm-hmm. 325 is this one right here.
Yeah. Well, that's a white-tailed deer that I killed and my mother's old country too, old ranch over there too.
And 326?
That's a white-tailed deer that I killed down here in my country, my pasture.
And 327?
Is a mule deer I killed in the Kaibab forest the year Roy Hines hunted with me. I killed that old deer, trailed him up in snow and killed him. He's a big deer.
Sure does.
He dressed 243 pounds, that old deer, but he was poor. He'd been rutting and he was thin.
Uh-huh. And 328 is this one.
That's a black tail. It come off of the Yale Range.
And 329?
That deer was killed here on my range.
You can sure tell the difference in there. Yeah. In there.
Killed in early fall, long in October, November, the early season, November.
It sure is a smooth, yeah. A lot different than this one over here.
That's an old deer. Uh-huh. And this deer was killed here on my range, too.
That's number 330. Yeah.
White tail.
Uh-huh. 330 is the last one, Lawrence.
That's all of them, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Let me ask you, a while ago, Mr. Peeley, you said that this moose down here, number 17.
That's the first caribou I ever killed.
Caribou.
Caribou. That's the first one I ever killed out of Nordegg, Alberta, Canada. Old man Angus Sinclair was an outfitter that year. I hunted with, and that's the first caribou I ever killed.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big old bull, but he didn't have a big head. They were three big old bulls in a bunch. And I kill that one and just let the other two go.
Well, that was number 17 that we were talking
about. He's a double shovel.
Yes, sir. Mr. Peeler, you talk about
Moving Al McFadden, 2,000 head.
You talking about Kenny or Kennedy?
Who?
You were talking about Kenny or Kennedy? You talk about this man Kennedy or what's his name?
Old man John Kennedy, and then after he died, he had a boy called Johnny Kennedy.
Well, that's down at Sarita then.
At Sarita. The Kennedy Ranch, the old John Kennedy Ranch down there. Goddamn, I killed a big old deer there, whitetail deer, with old Steve Franklin. He was a top rail there, you know, when they was doing the dipping. And I went down to old man Steve's camp. He was camped out there below Sarita. And I went down there, you know, he's camped right out not too far from Sarita. And I got there about 4 o'clock that evening. And old Steve said, "Goddamn, Gray, have you got your Winchester in your car?" And I said, "Hell yeah." And he said, "By God, come go with me. We go out here in this here live oak runner and kill a deer for camp meat." Well, of course, that's what I wanted him to see. And we went out there and we looked in a big, in one of them motts of that little old live oak runner, and there's a big old buck picking up acorn. And Steve said, "Well, Gray, that looked like a pretty good buck. So we'll just get him." So I killed him, and he had 10 points, a pretty good buck for that country. And he said, "Now, Gray, we take him on to camp, let the men clean him for the cook. Said we'll have some of him for supper." So we turned around and loaded him in an old pickup that Steve had there and went back to camp. You know, I was in an old Steve pickup, and went back to camp, and he had put them men to clean that old deer, dressed him, and he had old Mickey had a big side of ribs, both sides of ribs, and his liver and stuff, and we ate that for supper. Now he said, "Graves, in the morning, said we go down here on the Sacagawea Flats, said we'll get a sure enough big deer with a good head for you to take home." He said, "You can take his head," and we use the meat at camp. So next morning we went down there and I saw a pretty good buck out there, good ways. And Steve warned me to, he said, "Graves, that looked like a pretty good deer." And I said, "Yeah, it's a pretty good deer." And you reckon I'd better shoot him? He said, "No, we get a better deer. We go on down a little bit." So old Steve and I drove on down, and we run into Sarah Clayberg in Sarita East. They was out there hunting. And when he saw them, well, he recognized them. I never had shot. If I'd have shot that old buck, they'd have caught us. And Steve said, "Well, that's Sarita and Sarah Clayberg." Said, "They're hunting." Said, "Let's drive on down there and talk to them and go on back to camp." And I said, "Well, Steve, I'll just lay my gun down on the floor, you know, where they won't see it." And we drive up there. And I said, "You get out and do the palaver with them, and I'll just sit in my car." But I said, "We won't have the damn gun where they can see it. I know they won't get out and search my pickup." So I laid it down on the floor crossway. And he got out and chatted with them a while. They both had the gun. One of them was sticking out the window on one side and one out the other. And when Steve told them about seeing that big old buck up there not very far from there, about 200-300 yards, the old buck had his eaten down there in that sack of waste. And he said, "Sarah, you and Sarita said that Gray and I saw a big old buck right back up this draw here about 300-400 yards. And they said, "Well, we'd go up there and see if we can kill him." And they went on by up there. They didn't talk very, stop very long. You know, they want to kill that old deer. And old Steve and I pulled out the camp. That deer, I killed him on the old Ortiz Ranch. When old man farmer and old man Bill Jennings had it leased. place over there. I killed him out the L Ranch in 1961. That deer had been killed a long time. God damn it.